This is Radio Influence.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, and welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass. Thanks for joining us today. We're your weekly source for performance information. And if you do want to get in touch with us, check out our website. Crushperformance.com is the location on the World Wide Web. And you can write to us, info@crushperformance. That's the email. On Twitter, @JeffCrush, and on Facebook, Instagram, and our YouTube channel, which has been a lot of fun. You can search Crush Performance and find us there as we hook you up on the very latest in the world of performance. Today, a really big show. I'm glad you're joining us today because it's an important conversation, one that we don't really address enough in the world of high-performance sport or just in human performance in general. Anywhere, again, there's people working inside of a structured system to achieve a goal. There's a lot of factors that need to be addressed if you're going to optimize performance, but one of them often gets overlooked, whether it's individually or as an organization, and that is the conversation revolving around money. And when it comes to sport in particular, there is a lot of money to be had. There's no doubt about it. So today we are talking money in sport, maybe even more so money management in sport, as we talk with Bob McKee, the managing director of RBC Sports Wealth Management in their professional division. We'll talk about the pros and the cons, the ins and the outs of managing money in sport. There are some tricks to the trade and some solid fundamentals that need to be addressed, and Bob and his team are some of the best in the business, so we'll look forward to that coming up later in the show. Now, I've been around professional sport for a long time, and I know there's some very, very reputable people and organizations out there that help athletes and their families manage their wealth at the start of their careers, through their careers, and into post-career planning. But there's also a lot of shady characters and a lot of shady things going on out there that you have to be aware of. And that's why maybe this is such an important conversation to have, and we need to have it more often. And right now is a very good time, as all the entry drafts are done for all the major sports. A lot of great young talents are now entering their professional careers, and the signing bonuses are big. And if you don't have an idea from the get-go, from the start, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble before you even get going. And I'm talking financial trouble. So we're going to get to that in the show today. We'll be talking with Bob later on. And then later in the show, we're going to look at why athletes go broke. We're going to talk about that great article, if you remember back in 2009 from Sports Illustrated, why and how athletes go broke, professional athletes go broke. That was an eye-opener back in 2009. Not a lot has changed, unfortunately. So I think, again, another good reason to have this conversation, probably more often than we are. But before we get to all that, we had an interesting note come into our mailbox here last week regarding our new book that's out, and it's been online for quite some time. The audiobook is in the works. We're going to get that done here right away and posted. The paperback's available. The Kindle version is available, and we're working on the audiobook right now, which will be great to have that done. But some great questions coming in and also some great feedback as well. The book is called The Performance Plan, Strategies for Top Performance in Sport, Business, Coaching, and Life. And it's just sort of a guidebook, things that I've learned over the years from a lot of my mentors and people I've worked with, and also from the athletes that I've worked with. Some really, really interesting stories in there. But it is a starting point that I believe is really, really important to consider for anybody. And you don't have to be in sport to apply the principles of performance. It can be anything you're doing. Well, we got a message in our inbox regarding the book just a little while ago, and I wanted to address it. I wrote the person back, but it's actually a pretty good question. And in the book, we talk about greatness and striving to be the best. And maybe it gets taken out of context at some time. And the comment went kind of like this. It says, Jeff, I am a serious recreational athlete, and I read the book, and not all of us want to be great or to be the best. We're just out there competing, having fun, and pretty content with where we're at. And that is absolutely okay, and that still falls well within the scope of the book. Look, the book talks about greatness and how you define greatness. It's different for everybody. Greatness for some might be trying to become the very best in the world at something, which is a commendable goal and objective, and I'm all for it. But it also might be something a little more personal. It might be being the best dad, or being a good husband or wife or sister, or a good student. It might be being a good coach. It's very, very different for everybody. And when it comes to being the best, again, that is pretty subjective as well. Being the best, what does that mean for you? Well, regardless of what it is, whether it's trying to become one of the best in the world, or the best at your local club, or whether it's trying to just maybe beat a personal best, the principles of setting up a performance plan can be applied at every single level, no matter what you do. And that's what the book is about. It's about getting a clear idea of where you want to go and what you want to accomplish, regardless of what it is. And then sort of retracing your steps to where you're at right now, understanding where you're at right now, really clearly understanding where you're at right now. And then what are the best strategies to get to where you want to go? That's what it's all about. That is the fundamental principles of setting up a plan. And when we talk about performance in sport, whether we talk about performance in business, life, academics, your particular job, it doesn't matter what it is. Anytime somebody is trying to get better at something or shoot towards a goal, there are strategies you can use to help you along the way. And just over the years, I've just been so lucky to work with some great, great people, but also being able to work with some of the world's top performers and to learn from them and to learn together with them about what works and what doesn't work. And that's what we put together in the performance plan. So I really, really liked that comment. And I liked the conversation that went back and forth with that particular person. But I wanted to share that because I think that might be sort of a misnomer in terms of what the book is all about. It's not just for the high performers or the people that want to be the best. It's for people who are looking to get better at anything. So if you had a chance to read it, let me know what you think. Let me know if you have any questions. I love it all. And you know what? A lot of the times it gets me thinking about things that I need to think about. And, you know, we talk about in that being sort of the premise of the entire Crush Performance platform. Take the radio show, for example. We're here each week talking about issues and attacking topics that we think are really, really important. And we bring on some of the world's best minds to get us thinking about things that, frankly, we need to be thinking about. I mean, look at the upcoming shows that we have. We're going to be doing a great show on sleep with some of the world's top experts. Sleep is our number one priority in human performance. Well, what do we need to do to get better sleep? How much sleep do we actually need? And when we're not getting good sleep, what are the ups and downs? What are the good strategies and bad strategies so we can be a better performer every day, regardless of what you're doing? Another one is the war on sugar. I'm passionate. Everybody knows I'm passionate about the Crush war on sugar. We've got a great episode coming up there. Talent development. We're going to do a show on talent development this fall that's going to be geared towards not so much sport performance. It's going to be geared to the music industry. There's a lot to be learned in terms of talent development and skill acquisition out of the music industry. As a matter of fact, a lot of the current research on talent and talent acquisition is done on musicians, world-class musicians. How do they learn? What are the environments? What are the strategies that the top performers use to become the best? Well, there's something there to be learned for everybody. And that's what the show is all about. And that's what the book's all about. So my hopes are that we can just help you achieve your goals. So I love that email. Thanks for sharing that. And today is another one of those shows. Listen, we're talking about money and money management. And I dare say if we go back and look at athletes across the board, when they start their young careers or they're planning their young careers or they're in high school training to get that college scholarship or they're working towards a pro draft or anybody who's working to become a top performer, how many of them actually sit down and map out a financial plan? Well, not many. Not many that I know. And it's a big problem because if that part of your life isn't taken care of, it's very, very difficult to accomplish what you need to accomplish in order to become a top performer, regardless of what it is. So getting back to that starting point and understanding what needs to happen in order for a performance plan to be successful moving forward, you have to understand a couple things. And what we like to encourage all of our athletes to do at the very start of any program we get involved in, whether it's organizational or whether it's an independent individual athlete, there's three main priorities that we have to understand on the onset. Before we even start planning or programming anything, there's three things that we believe are incredibly important to understand. again, whether it's an individual or an organization. Number one, you have to have an incredible passion for what you're doing. It has to be that intrinsic drive that keeps you going every single day through the good, through the bad. It's a character trait of every top performer I've been around, and I do believe it's a choice and a decision you make, because it's not always easy, and there's not a person out there that hasn't, at some level or in some way, thought about quitting at some point. But that passion and drive are absolutely critical if you're going to achieve your goals. Second, you have to have a really good idea of what you want to accomplish. If it's being number one, you have to have a pretty firm idea that you can actually achieve being number one or amongst the best. And it's not impossible. You just have to figure out how you're going to go about doing it. Or it might be that personal best we talked about, or it might be something more individual. But regardless, you have to have a clear, defined goal and objective that is realistic. Once those first two are in place, number three is the financial model. You have to have a financial model that works within your world to make sure you can do what you need to do to achieve your goals. And it's very, very different for everybody. I mean, we've heard of the athletes who have to start GoFundMe pages just to get to the Olympics, leave alone have the most cutting edge equipment and get their coaches there. And then there's the athletes that have all the support in the world, whether it's from their sporting organizations, their federations, their families, whatever it might be. All they have to do is focus on training, getting better, and mastering their craft. But regardless of the support structure, if the plan is set up properly based on the resources that that particular athlete has, we see both of these athletes competing at the world stage. So where there is a will, there is a way. And that way has to be designed around the resources and the particular circumstances of the individual. And that's what performance planning is all about. And it all starts with these three key elements. You have to have passion. You have to have an idea of where you want to go and how good you can actually become. And then you have to have a financial model to make it all happen. Once these are in place, you can start planning. And that's where the fun begins. You're always course correcting. You're always going to be challenged. You're in a constant state of flux. But you need to have that plan to use as a reference point to make good adjustments from. Too many people go out there without a plan, and it's like shooting in the dark. How can you possibly make a strategic adjustment if you don't really know where you were in the first place? Yes, you might know where you are at the time, but if you don't have a solid reference point in relationship to where you started and in relationship to where you want to go, it's incredibly difficult to make intelligent adjustments. It really, truly is. And one of the first things we have to have is that peace of mind that comes along with financial well-being, at least financial stability. You have to know that the bills are going to get paid, that if there's an emergency that happens, you're going to be able to take care of it. It's a big part of it. We've seen so many careers derailed even before they've gotten started because the athlete and their families haven't put together a financial plan. They haven't considered it. So that's going to be the topic of today. Oh, so important. Later in the show, we're going to look at exactly how much money our athletes earning. We'll go league by league and look at how much money is dedicated to player salaries. We're going to look at the signing bonuses for some of the top draft picks. We're going to look at career length, and we're going to go back to that 2009 article and discuss why and how athletes go broke after earning millions and millions of dollars. And coming up right after this break, we're going to talk with Bob McKee, the managing director of RBC Sports Wealth Management, right after this on Crush Performance. Everybody, stick around. Hey everybody, Jeff here. I just wanted to give you all a heads up that we just discovered this week the subscription button for the Crush Performance newsletter hasn't been functioning properly. So I want to thank everybody who wrote in to let us know. The Crush membership is very important to us, and our weekly newsletter is a big part of how we help our members develop the very best plan for getting control, getting focused, and getting results no matter what your goals and objectives are. So if you've recently tried to sign up for our newsletter, please try again at crushperformance.com. Our incredible tech people have the problem solved, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's get back to the show. More Crush Performance right now.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
Welcome back, everybody. Listen, if you do have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, get them to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info at CrushPerformance is the email. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Just check out Crush Performance and we'll hook you up and keep you on the cutting edge of everything human performance. Today is no exception. A very, very important part of any development program, well, any type of program for that matter, is the financial model. You have to make sure that piece of the puzzle is taken care of so you can do what you need to do to be successful. And in sport, there's no exceptions here. You have to have this piece of your model in place, one, so you can get to where you want to go, and once you're there, so you can survive. Oh, the horror stories we could tell behind the scenes of money issues that have derailed careers, destroyed lives. It's an important part of the sporting business, and it's a real important part of being an athlete in today's day and age. Joining us right now to dig a little deeper and explain a little bit more of the wealth management in professional sports is Bob McKee, Managing Director of RBC Sports Wealth Management on the professional division. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
Well, I've been looking forward to this conversation as it's official. All the professional drafts have now come and gone for this year, and it's a very, very important time for these young athletes, but it's also a time to get grounded a little bit. I've seen your presentation in working with the Baseball Canada Junior National Program a number of times as the good people from the Royal Bank come out and talk to them about managing their wealth. Bob, in our sort of major theme of athlete performance, we have three major rings of performance that we feel have to be addressed first and foremost. And most of these young players who have now been created this opportunity for themselves to be drafted into professional sports. One is having the passion, knowing what you're good at and what you can do in your area of expertise, regardless of the sport. And then the number three part of it, and it kind of alarms people sometimes, is the wealth management side. You have to have a financial model that allows you to do what you're going to do. And that's kind of what the RBC Wealth Management Program is all about. Maybe give us some background on the program and how you guys got started.
No, thanks, Jeff. It actually started in 1989, and no different today than it was then. It started out with a team of RBC sports professionals who were top advisors and wealth management specialists. And really the goal was to tailor strategies to help athletes and their families manage their families or finances and their lives. The team itself is comprised of a select group of individuals, and having extensive knowledge working with athletes and agents and coaches, front office executives. And it's not just Canada, but it's also the United States that we work in as well. So together with our U.S. partners, which includes RBC Wealth Management U.S., City National Bank, and our RBC Bank USA, we truly are able to offer athletes cross-border financial services. And that's a key point of what our program has been throughout, because, as you know, a player can be drafted, say, for hockey. There's an 80% chance if they're a Canadian kid, they're going to be playing in the United States. So having that capability is so important. So our athletes are able to draw upon this experienced team that we do have that involves private banking, RBC Wealth Management Services, and the team of planners, lawyers, accountants, tax specialists, and estate planners. So it's pretty extensive what we cover, and it's those pieces that are so important, and some of those pieces that are missed by many out there as part of the planning for their future. In 1989, when we started, it's no different today. It's still the same. We're just dedicated to helping sports professional athletes and their families, and understanding their goals and what their finances are, and to secure a great future for them.
Well, Bob, it's such an important part of the big picture. You know, in my role as a performance specialist here, my background is in strength and conditioning and talent acquisition. But I've come to the point now where I'm sort of really involved in building the entire performance team around the athletes. And the one area that really gets often overlooked, more often than anything else I think I've seen, is the financial strategy side of things. So that's why this, I think, is a really, really important conversation, especially when we look at the money that's available now for these young athletes as they enter their pro careers. It's a big, big chunk of money for most of these young guys. And to have a real trusted ear to lean on in this area can really help their performance in the future of their careers on the field. There's a strong tie there, don't you think?
Absolutely. And it just goes back to our basics there, and that's planning. Planning. It's so important that the foundations are set at the beginning to help the young athletes and their parents. And because for many, they've never seen these dollars before. And you're quite correct. The dollars seem to be going up year after year to very large amounts, and it's overwhelming. So getting a grasp right at the very beginning is so important there, and we like to look at it that before the first contract is even signed, that we have those discussions, because there's so many planning opportunities that start right from the get-go.
Yeah, and it can be overwhelming for athletes and the families, as you mentioned, Bob, because all of a sudden these this big financial windfall comes through, and if you're not planning, I think people kind of lose sight as to how quickly it can end. It can end as quickly as it comes, and you have to plan for that throughout your career as well.
Yeah, the statistics show it that average careers aren't as long as probably the athlete hopes for. Generally, the average is, well, say for hockey, 5.5 years, and NFL football is way shorter than that, 3.5. So it's not long. And, many of the athletes have prepared themselves for years and years and expect they're going to have a 15 or 20 year career. And gee, I hope they do there. But the reality is that most don't. And sometimes it could be sort of reduced by injury or just performance. So you need to have financial planning and get on a budget right away. It's so important there that you set your goals. I know it's difficult when you're 18 or 19, 20 to think that way and think into the future a far distance, but it just shows the successes out there are the ones who do that. And the ones who get sidetracked are the ones without a plan. They just sort of wing it and hope for the best. And yeah, sometimes it does work, but the majority of the times it doesn't.
Yeah, we're talking with Bob McKee, the managing director for RBC Sports in the professional division. Well, we've heard the horror stories. I think most of us have seen the articles of the financial challenges that some of these incredible professional athletes fall into shortly after their careers end. And that is purely just a lack of planning, but also maybe not getting involved with the right people. Here's a story, Bob, I'd like to share with you because I think you could relate to this. We had a player, a pitcher, a very successful pitcher in with the Blue Jays. And he got traded away from the Blue Jays and was just going through all of his finances. And he found that there was about $7 or $8 million missing somewhere. And when he went to address his agent or his financial person about this missing money, I couldn't get a hold of the person. The person had flown the country, gone forever, and along with that money. So getting involved with the right people is as important as choosing the right investment opportunities or the place to maybe grow your money on the side as well.
Yeah, no question on that, Jeff. Certainly that Sports Illustrated article in 2009 was a big eye-opener. We had a fairly good idea. There was a lot of difficulties going on out there, but those type of stories continue to surface. And we've seen a few in the last few months here on the Canadian side where athletes made significant money over a number of years and have run into major financial difficulties. And the losses, the dollar amounts lost here are just staggering, how it could happen. And that's why with the RBC Sports Professional Program, we have over 29 years of experience here of dealing with athletes. And our goal, right from the get-go is it's for the benefit of the client to make them they do well on the field. They're allowed and able to put 110% out on the field, but we're giving them 110% as well on the financial side. So our clients don't run into these difficulties, and it's so important to have a one-on-one relationship with them to keep them up to date and keep them informed as to what's going on. Because a lot of what happens out there is sort of what you were alluding to. You can't get a hold of your advisor, and communication is almost non-existent there. That's a red flag right there. And you know, with some of the opportunities of investing out there that are run by athletes, you scratch your head and say, why did you ever approach that? You don't need to. But we, again, finding, you know, what is sort of the root cause of a lot of these difficulties is not having a plan and a budget. It's a must. I can't overemphasize that. It's a must. Again, not having a trusted advisor. Athletes should pay attention to their finances as much as some don't want to. They need to. They need to ask questions. They need to look at their statements. Just, you know, even if it's quickly, just to keep an eye on things. And as well, not thinking of the short term. You've always got to think of the long term and the consequences there. And basically reducing risk. Athletes are a target out there, and there's many risk strategies that we introduce to handle disability, what ifs there, divorce, which is a high percentage among athletes, and litigation, especially in the United States, how to protect yourself in case of certain difficulties. So those are just some of the things, but you need to have a trusted team behind you there, and that's what RBC Sports Professionals offer, both in Canada and the United States.
Yeah, no, such an important part of the performance team. And you mentioned something really, really interesting there, Bob. And that's the fact of just having that plan. You know, we just released a book called The Performance Plan, Strategies for Success in Sport, Business, and Life. And we're talking more about sort of the big picture type things, setting the framework, the groundwork, the foundation, so to speak, for building a successful approach to your goals and objectives. The exact same plan can be used on the financial side. You just have to know what you're doing. But like our athletes, in every aspect of their development, they can't know everything. So they have to find the right people to get involved with. And again, I've seen the RBC Sports involvement with the junior national team on the Baseball Canada side. And it's a tremendous, tremendous presentation and a great resource for these young players. You know, we talk about some of the issues that these athletes get into in terms of poor investments or bad decision making, or the fact, as you mentioned, they just don't really want to be involved in the business side. They hand it off to somebody. Major mistake, as you mentioned. Bob, in your experiences, what are some of the pitfalls or the mistakes people make? You know, we've seen guys invest in dance clubs or in a friend's entrepreneurial idea or restaurants. And these are sort of things that have to be maybe part of the plan you mentioned, right?
Absolutely. I'll add golf courses and player-only deals to that as well. Mm-hmm. There's just so many individuals out there, investment groups there, that look at athletes as a target. They make a lot of money. They're making it at a young age and maybe a little bit naive, and it's an opportunity. So it's almost like they have a big target on their back that let's go after them. And athletes need to be cautious of that. And that herein where the RBC Financial group comes in. We tell our clients, when you get those offers to you, let us take a look at them. We have a vast array of team members, and it's bankers, investment advisors, tax specialists, legal. Let's take a look at it. Let's vet it. And if it's a great investment, fine. But if it's not, and you as an athlete aren't comfortable in saying no to maybe a friend, let us be the bad guys and deliver that no as an answer there. So the team has enormous expertise at looking at these type of opportunities. We've seen so many of them over the years, good, bad, and ugly out there. And that's one of the benefits we bring, especially to the younger players who, you know, they're wanting to follow their peers. There's peer pressure in the dressing room. So we offer that straight up to our clients that let us partake in that and show our capabilities for you. And again, not every player has the same investment goal or risk tolerance. And each investment plan that to him or her, we always want to make sure you're not always trying to hit home runs. An athlete can do very well hitting doubles and strong singles and have a very successful financial career that'll lead them into retirement quite comfortably. So it's just a matter of balancing. We all hope that players have a long, successful career, but when they don't, we want to make sure over the years that they have been, that they got onto a financial plan. And I'll say that many, many times, got onto a plan and did the right things from the beginning. So that they can be successful and take the most out of their career as possible.
Yeah, great. But we're talking with Bob McKee, the managing director for RBC Sports Wealth Management on the professional division. Bob, you mentioned, the entry-level athlete, that's a one approach, getting them started with sort of the plan moving forward. Setting up a budget, I think that's a great, great idea. For the veteran athletes, there's also post-career planning, and that's as big endeavor as setting up a young career as they go into it. So, what are some of the approaches for the veteran career now looking at a post-career life now? It's a big transition for a lot of these guys.
It is a big transition, and it's a conversation, though, that should start right from the onset.
Mm-hmm.
You never know when that day's going to come, that it's your last professional game or opportunity there, and you need to start planning and broach those situations quite quickly in the planning process. For many athletes, hey, that's a tough conversation because, hey, I'm going to play for 15 years or 20 years, so that's a ways off. But statistics prove that the sooner you have those conversations and get them involved in the planning to start thinking about it, because it's financial planning is just not all about the investments and that. It's also the softer issues of what are you going to do after your sport? Are you going into another career, or do you plan to just put your feet up and never work again? But we've over the years have seen that when we start to develop those conversations early in the process, we've seen a lot of success with our clients move into the post-career stage and go into very successful careers in other areas. So it's giving them options, getting to think about it. That's so important there, because you can never nail it as to when, that retirement day is going to happen. It could be cut short by injury. The whole environment is changing. It's a younger game now. So a lot of the more, elder athletes are seeing that those opportunities that used to be available in the past are not there. So if they had the planning and process, they're able to handle that a lot easier. So it's again, financial planning, and we also like to use the term financial literacy, which is dealing with so many topics, and it's a very hot topic with young athletes, but it's just as important for the veteran athletes as well, because it covers so many areas of not just investing and banking, but buying homes, protecting yourself, charitable giving, things of that nature that, rings a bell to many. So, but again, it's a step-by-step process and constantly updating that financial plan, because life changes. You get married, you have children, you move around a lot, move from Canada to the U.S. and vice versa. So there's so many nuances to an athlete that you need to be on top of it much more than most professions out there, because it's so different.
Yeah, it sure is a state of flux, and it's a fickle business, as you mentioned, Bob. Just having the peace of mind of financial security can really, really influence on-field, on-court performance as well, in-sport performance. And that's a big piece of this puzzle as well. When there's a peace of mind there and the athletes know that they're going to be okay, their families are going to be okay, that's a big thing, Bob.
100%. You know, if you know your finances are under control, you can trust your team. They've had a great track record. And each side has got to really know how they interact and what they're in this game for. Then it allows the athlete to go out with one less major distraction out onto the field or out onto the ice and give it their all, knowing that the RBC Sports Professional team is looking after all their finances and working quite hard to make sure they reach their goals that they want.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, for the athletes, parents, coaches, and people who are listening today, any sage advice from you as we just sort of wrap up this conversation? Great information today. But for athletes who are looking forward to maybe an exciting career in sport, for the veterans who are there, or for the parents and family and support structures around these great young talents, any sage advice from you as we look forward and sort of wrap up the conversation on wealth management?
That's a great question, Jeff. And, you know, there's probably a few things, and maybe not in any particular order, but first, definitely surround yourself as an athlete with a professional team. You know, you got to get strong banking, strong investment, strong tax specialists who understand the business. There's many who profess to know certain things, but the reality is, and what we've seen over the years, there's not a lot out there who really understands sports and athletes and cross-border situations there. So get a strong team behind you. The other, and one I've said probably 10 times now, make sure financial planning is instituted right at the beginning. You know, get on a financial plan, understand it, and it'll help the player and it'll help the family learn and sort of with confidence plan out the future and know what the potential repercussions are by doing this and doing that. And that's so important. The other is educating. Getting, you know, finding a team that is willing to educate you, because our goal here at RBC Sports Professional is to ensure that throughout their career and then post-career, that they understand what they're purchasing or investing into, basically getting the nuts and bolts so that, you know, there's no miscommunication, no surprises out there, and they have the confidence going forward that they've got the right product in that. The other is getting involved. So many of these issues that we've seen where athletes have lost a lot of money, they didn't pay attention to their finances. They just relied on a friend to do it or somebody who they just picked. And they didn't ask questions. They didn't look at statements. And then the big surprise at the end, lo and behold, similar to the baseball player, where's that $7 million? And the other is, you know, again, we hope a long career, but plan based on what the statistics show that it could be a shorter career. And if it's a longer career, well, hey, everything is a benefit going forward there. And it's just the right knowledge and support will allow athletes who have early career success to translate that into long-term financial success.
Yeah.
So it's just doing the right things at the beginning, getting on a sort of a course there that will follow you through your entire athletic career and into many careers after and retirement there. So it's being cautious and surrounding yourself with really good people here as we do have here with the RBC Sports Professional Program.
Great, Bob. Listen, if people want to get more information or maybe get in touch with you to get involved in the program, is there some contact information we can share?
Absolutely. Absolutely there. the probably the best and easiest is by my email, bob.mckee@rbc.com, and I'm available anytime there, and would be very excited to help any individual or family there who's maybe in that situation wondering what to do or a second opinion, because we've got a lot of experience on this team, and the team is geographically right across Canada and right across the United States. So it's a very strong, well-seasoned team there with lots of information and lots of stories there that hopefully can help out these young athletes who are making the trek forward.
Great, Bob. Thanks so much for your time today. Great, great advice. And we'll look forward to staying in touch and talking to you again. Very, very important part of the performance plan, I guess, in the big picture here. So thanks so much for today.
Thank you, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
There you have it. Some sage advice from the experts at RBC Wealth Management. Have to thank Bob McKee for that. Some really, really good information there. And I think a good indication of how important this part of career planning really, really is. It can be a minefield if you don't know what you're doing. And like we say in every other part of athlete performance and sport performance, you cannot do it alone. You have to have the right people around you and a financial advisor and a real trusted person or group in charge of that side of an athlete's business is so important. So important. But right now, we have to cut out for a quick break and take care of some business ourselves. When we come back, we're going to go way back to 2009 and take a look at a Sports Illustrated article that really shed some light on the financial issues pro athletes face during their careers and shortly after their careers. The data and numbers they threw out in this article were unbelievable. We'll have a look at that right after this on Crush Performance. Crush Performance, we're your weekly source for performance information. Join me, Jeff Kershaw, and the Con Man as we dig deep into the science and research of talent development and skill acquisition to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. And go to our website, crushperformance.com, to get details on my brand new book, The Performance Plan, strategies for top performance in sport, business, coaching, and life. Our goal is to help you get better, and it starts with The Performance Plan. Get control, get focused, and get results. We're Crush Performance. Join us weekly right here on Radio Influence.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. We are short on time, everybody, after that great conversation with Bob McKee, the managing director of RBC Sports Wealth Management. Just a fantastic discussion right there about how important it really is to have a financial plan and to set it up early. As Bob mentioned time and time again, plan, 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 plan. Now listen, plans are exactly that. It's a game plan. It can change, but at least you have a strategy going in, and it's so important for peace of mind and for athletes in the world of sport where there's so much money going around. It's really important because those athletes are targets. They really, really are. And it's one of the reasons that athletes, even despite making millions of dollars, often find themselves in financial trouble, either broke or under financial duress. And that takes us back to the article that we mentioned earlier in the show. Sports Illustrated did a fantastic article way back in 2009. The title of the article was How and Why Athletes Go Broke. And it looked at some of the numbers coming out of professional sports and some of the harrowing stories of financial ruin and bad decision making and the fact that, yes, athletes are targets, and some of the reasons why. Why, despite all the money that's available in professional sports, some of these athletes are going broke. And some of the numbers from 2009 in NFL out of that article. In the NFL, 78% of retired players are bankrupt or under financial stress in as little as 2 years after they retire. In the NBA, 60% of former players are under financial stress or either bankrupt within 5 years. And in Major League Baseball and the NHL, there's very similar patterns. These numbers astounded people. If you think of the amount of money that's being made in professional sports, even in terms of minimum wages, how is it possible? Well, there's a number of reasons that athletes go broke. And one of them flat out is they don't plan. They don't have a plan. One of the reasons that we need to have discussions like this more often, even if you're not an athlete, it's such an important part of life in general. Just having that peace of mind and that financial stability that is really, really different for everybody. But when you're earning the big bucks, and all of a sudden you become a target for all the shady side, but also for legitimate reasons. You have to have a financial literacy, as Bob mentioned, that's going to allow you to make intelligent decisions when it comes to managing your money. And in professional sports, we all know there's a lot of money to go around. Looking at the numbers from 2017-2018, let's go to the total annual salaries paid out to players in the leagues. In the NFL, the players made a total of $4.5 billion last year. Major League Baseball was number two at $3.8 billion. The NBA players made $3.1 billion. In the NHL, $2.2 billion. If you go across the pond to the English Premier League, the players in that league earned a total of $1.79 billion. You go down to the CFL, for example. All the players in the CFL get paid out $30 million. In Major League Soccer in North America, $200 million. In the Canadian Soccer League, $500 million. So there's a lot of money to go around. And then if you look at the average wages, it tells a little different story. The NBA leads the way when it comes to the average wage per player at $7.15 million last year. Number two is Major League Baseball, $4.47 million. The English Premier League was number four, where the players earn an average of $3.44 million per year. Number five was the NHL, where the players earn $3.1 million on average per year. And the NFL came in at number six at $2.7 million per year. Regardless, it's a lot of money. But then let's go to the young athletes just starting out. If we look what happened in the recent drafts, they're all done. And one of the reasons we're having this conversation today, because it's very, very timely. These young athletes are now going to be exposed to incredible sums of money. And for the most part, they're high school age athletes. If we look at the signing bonuses for the top draft picks league by league, the numbers are staggering. In Major League Baseball, the top draft picks are signed for somewhere between $4.1 and $3.5 million. In the NFL, it's not unheard of to have $30 million signing bonuses for players just entering the league. In the NBA, $7 to $8 million. In the NHL, we're looking at $3.25 to $3.7 million, somewhere in there. It's a lot of money for a young player. And if you're not prepared for that, if you don't have the right people around you, you can imagine that everybody's coming for you. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork. And one of the big problems is the players don't understand how delicate and fickle this business is. When you start out in professional sports, there seems to be no end to the millions of dollars you can make through a beautiful long career. But careers are relatively short in professional sports, depending on which source you go to. In the NFL, it's around 3.3 years. Major League Baseball, 5.6, one of the better lifespans of professional sport. In the NBA, it's right around 4.8. In the NHL, 4.5, 4.8, depending on which source you go to once again. But the earning window is very, very small. And if you don't prepare for that, man, it can sneak up on you really, really quick. And hence the importance of talking money and money management. Listen, we're out of time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I have to thank Bob McKee for joining us today as well. Coming up in the next few weeks, we'll be talking sleep and sleep performance. The war on sugar will return. We're going to be talking talent, talent development, and much, much more on Crush Performance. If you get a chance, go back and read that SI article from 2009, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Something that I thought was interesting, and I am not familiar with the show, but most of you probably are. There is, I mean, I've heard of the show, I've never seen it. Last Chance U, it was about East Mississippi Community College, and now they've got a new one. I believe it's on Netflix. Don't ask me any more about Netflix or anything like that, but most of you are you're aware of it. Most of you certainly are aware of junior college recruiting to some degree, but it doesn't get quite the publicity of the high school recruiting. So since you, a lot of you may watch that show or have watched it, I thought it was real interesting to kind of talk a little bit about some of the stereotypes with junior colleges, some of the reels, you know, the misnomers. Junior college is big in, not in terms of popularity so much, but in terms of recruiting, it's really big. Mississippi has a big area and a following there. It's not as popular as the top high school programs, but it does have some interest in the Mississippi area. In the Jayhawk League in Kansas, it is very big. And, of course, out in California, there's a lot of good junior colleges. Now, while it doesn't have a lot of popularity in terms of fan bases, it is an important part of recruiting.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and, of course, RadioInfluence.com.